This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
This is Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. One of the most respected organizations in aviation, the National Association of Flight Instructors, or NAFI, is on the verge of splintering over a controversy that began with the removal of two board members and has grown into a battle over the governance structure of the 4,900-member group. NAFI's executive director, Jason Blair, says recent decisions by the board of directors are aimed at delivering better service to members. Okay, Jason, tell us what's happened to bring us to this point.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for taking the time to talk with us. There's quite a bit of stuff flying around out there. NAFI has obviously put some information out there, and whether or not it's really been listened to or not at some points remains questionable, but I appreciate taking the time to actually talk with us and give us a chance to tell you what NAFI is doing and how we're going to be moving forward with the organization to improve it and to take into account some of the questions and comments from our members in the discussion that's out there and in other discussions that we're having with how to improve the organization and really provide the best benefits possible for our members as an organization. I think there's two really main issues that I think you want to probably hear about, and that's the question of the board composition and what we're doing with the governance structure and how we're making some changes in our master instructor program. Is that correct that you're probably really looking to hear about those two?
Well, the flashpoints seem to have been to do with two board members and their future with the organization.
I think at this point, we have put out the information. The board did take a vote, a week and a half ago, that did not re-elect two board members. And those are two board members that have been very involved with the Master Instructor Program have really had a big part in helping grow that program. The reasoning for that is largely related to some changes that the organization is making in terms of how it runs that Master Instructor Program. And as we move forward, that has developed some questions within our governance structure of how our board composition is elected and how that takes place and the type of involvement from our members that are included in that process. And I guess first I'll address the Master Instructor Program. It is a program that was founded by NAFI as an organization, had a great deal of work from those two board members, Sandy and Joanne Hill, as contracted employees of the board. It wasn't that they just did this as members of the board out of the goodness of their heart, although it's naturally true that the goodness of their heart was certainly put into this program. They put a lot of work into it, and we can't thank them enough for that. But they were also contracted employees, and as the organization has grown over the last few years, and as the board looked at that program, they made a decision to bring that program back internal to the administration process of the staff of NAFI. Part of that was the termination of their contract to administer that program. This is really done to help the continuity of the program, and we want to make sure that as we go forward and as the program grows, the organization has the ability to maintain that program, irrespective of who's on the board, or who's sitting in my chair as the executive director. The intent is to develop a robust process that's documented and that has clear processes that are to be followed, and we can maintain that program for our members and maintain the relationship that we've had with the FAA on that program. The Master Instructor Program is a wonderful program. Our entire board is supportive of it, and it's a program that really offers an opportunity for instructors to strive to be the best instructors they can, but also recognizes those who have attained that designation as strong contributors to the flight instruction community and for the involvement that they've had within aviation as a whole. A wonderful program, and we are really focused on making sure that program is continuable within this organization.
Okay, well, what you've got right now, though, is a breakaway organization that appears to have the intent of creating its own structure for these programs. How are you going to address that?
Well, I think the best thing we can do as an organization to address that is one, listen to the input that we're getting from them and make a concerted effort to include that in the consideration of where we go from here. Some of the input that we've received as a part of this process has been a question of the governance structure. We've had claims that we've had secret bylaws and things like that, even though in many cases they were sitting on our webpage, although I will tell you they were probably harder to find than they needed to be, and that's a fault of our own organization of structure of our webpage that we've worked on addressing and made that a little bit easier for people to find. But the question has come up of, you know, how is our board elected, and what input does our membership have in that election process? The organization was founded in 1967, and I guess the first really big major change that came to any of our bylaws structure beyond that happened in 1995 when we affiliated with EAA. It's been a wonderful relationship, and we're very, pretty happy to have that relationship, and we think we can continue forward providing great benefit to EAA, and obviously they provide great benefit to us, but we are two separate organizations. We do have a bylaw structure that we need to follow. As we have continued forward with that, we've had a process where our board members have been nominated and appointed by the board itself. In the discussion that's come up, the question has been raised of, you know, why don't our members have a direct input into that process of election of board members? And it's something that our board is listening to. Since this discussion has come up, they've been discussing it quite a bit, and they are committed to offering some way of allowing the members to have input into the board process of nominating and electing members of that board. The exact composition of that process is something we're still working on. The organization is taking the time to look at other organizations and determine how they do it, and trying to figure out a logistical process and a method to actually make that something that we can work with, whether it becomes a proxy process or somehow there's direct election or there's a nominating process that the members are involved in, is still yet to be determined. At this point, our board governance committee, which is made up of three of our board members and then our board chairman, Phil Pointer, sits on as an ex officio member, have scheduled a meeting in March and are going to be meeting to consider all of the information that they have attained through, you know, other organizations' bylaws. And they're going to try and incorporate the best and the worst and try and figure out what they can do to make a proposal for our spring board meeting for consideration of how we can move the organization forward to include member input into that board election process. And the other side of that is we need to figure out how to transition from the current process to that as well. So we are moving forward, and the board is working very hard on that. And it's just going to take a little bit of time to get it done. I think it's worth noting that in this process, the board and the staff of NAFI are paying attention to what our members are saying in forums and groups and emails, and some of the documents that have been proposed by members for incorporation into NAFI, while they may not in entirety simply be enactable, we are very much looking at the content of them, and I expect that there will be pieces of those documents that will be included into any new bylaws that are put into place and new processes for management of the organization.
Okay, well, it's an interesting time for your organization, and we're watching it fairly closely, so I'm sure we'll be speaking in the future. Thanks very much for spending time with us today, Jason.
I appreciate that, and if I might add, I think the most important thing that I can put out there right now is that, you know, while we have a group of members that are very strongly voicing some opinions about the organization and how to move forward, we have a very large group of members to serve, and our goal is to make sure we balance that as an organization. We do want to listen to all sides of it, but we have to make sure that what we do as an organization is in accordance with our bylaws. Our board has to conduct itself in a manner that that protects the organization in terms of how they move forward. But they are going to move forward, and we are very strongly listening to our members, and we're hopeful that the members will watch us and take the time to work with us and take the time to help us improve the organization that they are a part of, because that's our goal, is to really make this organization the best we can for them and serve the needs of the flight instruction community.
Well, thanks very much for spending the time with us today, Jason. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.